Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our second scripture this morning comes from 1 Samuel verses 16 through 18. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse of Bethlehem, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceable. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely he's anointed as now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse came to Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord says, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. This is the word of the Lord. Oftentimes, this particular psalm, which is ascribed to David, and then says, when the prophet Nathan came to him after he committed adultery with Bathsheba. So it's usually tied with the Nathan text. This morning, we're looking at it a little differently, because scholars have long wondered if any of the psalm subscriptions were originally to the poems themselves. The super subscriptions may have been added later, especially since some of the most ancient versions of the Bible often have different superscriptions. The connection forged between Psalm 51 and 2 Samuel 12 by the means of that superscription then, while quite evocative, may be secondary and not necessary. Realizing that Psalm 51 is movable, and by placing it with 1 Samuel 16, 1 through 13, it invites us to look at a different connection with David and the psalm beyond the prophetic connection with Nathan. Of course, 1 Samuel 16 is about David's initial selection as king. We hear that Samuel is still grieving Saul's failure as a king. And you notice, God is already moving on and has located the next king in Bethlehem among Jesse's sons. But Samuel's not only sad, he's worried. Arrival to the throne would certainly cause political problems. And so God provides him with a clever cover story to get him safely to Bethlehem. As I read the text this week, I began to wonder, what does a heart for God look like? The idea raised in the psalm is that God created a clean heart for us, not for God. In the Common English Bible, it says, create a clean heart for me, God. We hear David petition in the psalm to create a clean heart. And we wonder what that means. Will it radiate the faithfulness that deep inside sense of God's presence? Will it allow us follow God's own heart? So oftentimes I think, as I shared with the children this morning, that God is watching our behavior. We try hard to behave. I wonder what we have done that God will actually examine when we get to the pearly gates. You see, we're so worried about actions. And I wonder if this psalm and the words of God, that God selected David for his heart, not his looks, obviously he had them because they told us that, not for what he accomplished, not for what he had done, he's a shepherd boy. And so perhaps that's a reminder that God doesn't necessarily look at our behavior, but looks at our hearts. Our hearts are going to be examined. Because if you think about it, David's behavior was less than stellar, right? He coveted a woman who was already married. You know the story. He had her husband killed. He courted her before they got married. Not stellar behavior. But God forgives David. And I keep thinking, I wonder if that has to do with the heart. What did David's heart look like? David pleads in the psalm for that pure heart. And we hear that David so desires to make things right with a clean heart. I wonder if we've ever pleaded for a clean heart. So I think pure hearts in some ways remind us that we maybe have missed the mark on what it means to be Christians. And perhaps it's more than just words and deeds. Perhaps it's thoughts as well. Because I think if we have pure hearts, our hearts actually reflect our Creator. So if God is looking at our hearts and not looking at our looks and what we do, what do you think God sees? I heard it in the text. God saw Samuel's grief over Saul. God saw through all Jesse's impressive sons. God looked at the eldest, oftentimes considered the leader simply because of where they were born, but God did not see what he was looking for in the firstborn. God passed over the most educated. Another way we oftentimes measure success. But God did not see what he was looking for when he looked at the most educated. God looked at the most handsome of sons. You know, often we are swayed by looks, mistaking them for leaders. But God looked and saw that the heart was not what he was looking for. None of Jesse's sons had a heart for God that was he was looking for until he came to the runt of the litter. There he saw the reflection of his own heart in young David. God doesn't see us as the oldest or the youngest, the smartest, the most beautiful or handsome. God sees in us our hearts. And then cleans them for the benefit of us, fills us with faithfulness, turns us towards God, ready for God's call. Create in me a clean heart, O God, so that I may follow your heart. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.